So, good morning, Washo. Welcome to all. It's a pleasure to be here with my partner in crime to do the first session of the day, the keynote as they call it, to the Seeker Modern Intelligence Foundation for your digital workplace, actually the evolution of SharePoint, the past, future of present. I apologize because I do not speak any word of Polish. The only thing I know is Robert Lewandowski. That's the only thing. Otherwise, I do not know anything about... it's enough? More than enough. Okay. I definitely agree.
Turn it on.
It works better now, definitely. So before getting into the keynote of today, I'd like to present myself. My name is Gökhan Özevsi. Don't try to say this. I needed 4 years before doing it, so it's extremely difficult. I am an independent consultant working most likely with Datapolis for 4 years now. I'm an MVP for 4 years again, and this is my Twitter handle, xgokan. And I'm humbled to do the keynote today with this guy.
Hey, everybody. My name is Vlad Catrinescu. I'm a SharePoint MVP from Montreal, Canada. So I came all the way from the minus 20 to here. So here is like the beach for me. I love it. I'm really excited to be here. I had the chance to visit a bit. You guys have an awesome country and really excited to be here for the SharePoint Saturday.
Yeah, definitely true. So please do join the conversation. I don't know if everybody has Twitter, but this is the official hashtag, SPS Washo. So if you have any question, remark, something that you like, you want to share, this is the official hashtag that you can use on Twitter. Don't be ashamed to share your knowledge, the thing that you're seeing on the conference. So let's begin with the keynote. Like, who can confirm me today that his job hasn't changed for the 5 years? Who can still say, like, I'm doing the same job as I did 5 years ago? Actually, nobody can say this today. The job has changed. IT has changed. Collaboration is changing. Depending on Gartner, by the study, they definitely say that 40% of information workers will work mobile, more than 60%. Like, who is reading and responding to professional emails through iPhone or through Samsung mobile? Only two people? Three people? Come on, that's not true.
Windows Phone?
Yeah. Okay, that is the reason why, right? People want to work from everywhere. That is something like, I'm from Belgium, I want to read my mails and respond to my mails from here. He is from Montreal, and he even did a Skype call with his customer when we are eating, right? He was just trying to sell his project. And 60% of information workers, they want to get the data from mobile. This means that IT is changing. We are switching from a server-to-server relation to a service relation, or even to a human-to-human relation. And this is me. When I'm at home, I like to work like this. Well, I do not have a dog, but I like to work like this. Being at home, no VPN token, no access token, no SMS, nothing. Just my laptop, connect on the internet like on Office 365, and getting all my data from one single point. I'm a huge fan of Game of Thrones. Who knows Game of Thrones? Who is this guy? John Targaryen. That's a bad thing. But when you try to sell Office 365 and all the toolkits into Office 365, you'll be alone. Because a lot of people will say, oh, you have one specific toolkit for collaboration, why do you get others? If I think about groups, teams, even SharePoint Newsfeed or Yammer, people will say, why do I have several tools for collaboration? Who uses Yammer still today? Okay, only a few people. That's cool. Not a lot of people. That's nice. Joking for Microsoft. There is no one tool actually capable to do everything into Office 365. That's a major reason why we have a lot of toolkits. So this is another character of Game of Thrones, and this was me a few years ago. I was the king of SharePoint. Why? So let's talk to Vlad a little bit maybe about that. So Vlad, if I ask you, what did you use before when I asked you a small team site or a project site?
SharePoint, of course.
SharePoint. What did you use for an intranet, extranet, or public-facing website?
SharePoint.
Again. What did you use for reporting or archiving?
SharePoint.
Again. What did you use for planning, tasking, file server, or even social?
The best tool out there, SharePoint.
SharePoint, a large team site or a project site?
SharePoint.
And finally, for even if you need to convert a dev to a SharePoint dev?
Stick.
Again, SharePoint. We all use SharePoint for everything. That's what we did a few years ago. SharePoint for all, SharePoint for all, SharePoint for all. And this actually had a negative effect on the community. There's a blog post of Benjamin Nolan who said, like, SharePoint doesn't suck, you suck. And we had a lot of negative comments on SharePoint. Like, SharePoint sucks and I hate that my employer is forcing me to use it as a workflow engine. Man, SharePoint is a product that makes me hate Microsoft. The best way to simply a SharePoint solution, ditch it. The idea behind SharePoint is great, but the implementation usually sucks. This is real life people using SharePoint, bringing commands onto SharePoint server, because we had that ideology of using SharePoint for everything. Even if you are hungry, you said, I'm going to command my sandwich through SharePoint, which is bad, right? So Microsoft said, like, hey, we're going to bring a new SharePoint online. And let's have a look on what it looks like.
Looks like Wi-Fi let you down.
It's not SharePoint, yeah. Right?
SharePoint? You didn't sacrifice anything for the demo gods. Yeah, if you have put the video in SharePoint.
This is the new SharePoint, right? The new SharePoint has changed, it's become simpler, it's in the cloud, and every new thing who is coming to SharePoint server is definitely born from the cloud. When you check your business before, we had to wait more than 3 years for getting new features. Migrating from 2007 to 2010, from 2010 to 2013, 2013, 2016, over Office 365. We had to wait, your business users had to wait, everybody had to wait. And I even don't want to get into the operational costs you had in migrating, having a high availability farm, etc. The day of today, your business doesn't want to wait. They want to use services available today. They do not care about your service packs. They do not care about your cumulative updates. They do not care about your maintenance plan and how you would do the disaster recovery. They simply want to use all services. And this is the main reason why I'm saying, like, today is a services era. The world's largest taxi company, who is Uber, doesn't have any taxi. The largest accommodation center provides no real estate. Think Airbnb. Think to Skype, which is one of the largest Skype phone companies who has no telecom infrastructure. Think about the world's most valuable retailer who has no inventory, Alibaba. Think to Facebook, one of the most popular media owner who doesn't create any content. Think to PayPal or Netflix, world's largest movie house who owns no cinema. We are today in a services era, not anymore in the old classic ways of that we did. And if you want to be great in your job, if you want to make good stuff with SharePoint and all other toolkits into Office 365, the future starts now. Don't be too late, because this was Office 365 a few years ago. This is an image made by Sharegate, and this is how it looks like today. And I'm pretty sure Microsoft will not stop. They will add, and deliver more and more services, more and more functions, more and more services that you would be able to use into Office 365. Don't be too late. The future has already started today, and you should be able to join today. So this is a slide deck from my fellow friend Patrick, and if he's listening to us, I don't know where the camera is, I guess there. This is a Marshall pyramid we did actually about Office 365. And he says, like, guys, on the bottom of your pyramid, you have classic stuff like people, mail, calendar, OneDrive, who is basically meant for end users. And within the end user stack, you can also have your groups with your planner, SharePoint, Delve, etc. And when we go up onto a pyramid, we get to power users who will actually have more specific and a little bit more complicated toolkits into Office 365 with this like Power Apps, Flow, Project, or even Stream. And when you get on the top of the pyramid, you will get for developers, which is actually the Microsoft Graph with your SharePoint framework and your add-ins. And when you look on the right side of the pyramid, you will see IT Pro stuff, which is basically PowerShell, compliance, and administration stuff. This is how Office 365 looks today. My fellow friend, America first and only America first. On-premises first and only on-premises first. We are a few dinosaurs left who still say on-premises first and only on-premises first. Which is okay. If you have the business requirement to stay on-premises, it's okay. If you have legally things to respect, it is okay. But if you have to begin a new project on a greenfield deployment, SharePoint on-prem is not the way to go. Office 365, I know, don't hit me, I know. He is one of the last SharePoint on-prems administrators left in the world, and he hated me when I put this slide on my slide deck, but right. Why do I personally hate, not migrating to Office 365 is developers. How many developers do we have in the room? I hate you all. No way, I hate you all. Because the golden rule, this rule is like, Albert Einstein, who said E is equal to MC2. For me, it means error is more code by two. How more you code, how more you deliver solutions, how more you mess up with my form. And it's always my fault. This is one of the reasons why I love to go to Office 365. I will get rid of all developers. My point of view. A few advantages of Office 365. You get the new modern UI. You get a toolkit into collaboration. First-class applications, like I showed in the present slide. It is safe and secure. There was a saying who said, you have two kind of organizations. The one who knows he is hacked. The one he doesn't know, but he is still hacked. Office 365 is, I guess, more secure than your own data center. Mobile compatible Office 365 is meant to work in every kind of device. Manageability and flexibility, like take the example, you're on vacation and you want to reboot a server today, good luck. You have to connect, get a VPN, a token, blah, blah, blah. It's not that easy. With Office 365, you want to create a site, just log into login.microsoftonline.com and you get your site created in Office 365. And definitely anytime, anywhere access. So Satya, I know you never said that, but I just wanted to put your picture, said like hybrid is no longer seen as a traditional state. It's regarded as a valid end state. I remember when the hybrid came out, the first thing that I heard and was like, hybrid is a temporary state, right? It's a way on migrating your data from on-premises to Office 365. But today, in 2017, it is a valid state. It's a valid topology. Hybrid environments is a reality. And Vlad is going to show us why this is a valid topology today, right?
Of course. Before we start, how many of you are currently on SharePoint on-premises? About 50%. Hybrid? Only two? Three? SharePoint Online only. Awesome. Okay. So first, let's talk about SharePoint Server vNext. How many of you think there's not going to be a SharePoint Server on-prem anymore? SharePoint 2016 is the last version.
All liars. Nobody's saying the truth.
The truth is that for the last 4 years, there was a lot of, I call them haters, out there that kept saying, oh, SharePoint on-prem is dead. Everybody's going to go to the cloud. It's going to be cloud only from now on. SharePoint is dead. We have sites, CIO.com, even articles all over the web that said SharePoint on-prem is going to be the last version. I mean, of course, they can't even spell on-prem, so you know that. It's probably not a good article. But there has been a lot of rumors that SharePoint 2016 is going to be the last version for SharePoint on-prem. And that has got a lot of my customers thinking of, Vlad, why is everybody saying that SharePoint is the last version? And some people even think that they heard from Microsoft that SharePoint 2016 is the last version, which is simply not true. Actually, even from a conference I organized in 2014, Microsoft, Bill Baer, program manager at Microsoft, said that SharePoint Server vNext, which is now SharePoint 2016, is not going to be the last version for SharePoint on-prem. Microsoft is going to keep shipping on-prem versions for as long as there is demand. Even recently, a few weeks ago, they announced that Skype for Business is going to get a new version for on-prem. So maybe 2018, 2019, we're going to have a Skype for Business vNext. So for sure, we're going to have a SharePoint vNext as well. And it's even confirmed by Microsoft. If you look, when SharePoint Server 2016 was launched, they said, is SharePoint Server 2016 the last version? No. As soon as last March 27th, which is this week, when they announced that access services in SharePoint Online will be gone in 2 months, what did they say? We will include access services in the next versions of SharePoint on-prem. So they already know that what's going to be and what's not going to be in the next version of SharePoint. So for those of you who are on-prem, don't worry. However, Gokhan made a really good point about Office 365. Office 365 is where Microsoft is really pushing all the latest features. So cloud first, mobile first. That's where all the latest and greatest features will be deployed. And you also have, even if maybe on-prem we get them later, people would not care that much. But there are a lot of features such as Delve, Truvideo, Groups, Teams, that will never come to on-prem. So why didn't everybody move to online? I see a lot of companies, at least in Canada, my experience is that everybody is moving Exchange and Skype for Business to the cloud. Those are the first ones that are moving to Office 365. Why? Because people don't use Exchange. People don't use Skype for Business server. People use Outlook and the Skype for Business client. Like Gokhan said, people don't care where your server is located. As long as Friday they close down their computer, Monday they open it up, they open the same Outlook client, and the experience doesn't change for them, they could care less where your Exchange is hosted. They just want to have the same user experience. What is different for SharePoint? SharePoint on-prem is not the same thing as SharePoint Online. We have a lot of limitations. We have completely different user experience. So it's not as easy to do a SharePoint on-prem. That must be Microsoft, because I'm talking too much about on-prem. They're like, no, stop it. Talk about 365. So why do people stay on-prem? Why so many people, half of you are still on-prem? Let's look at some of the reasons. First of all, the ability to customize our SharePoint as we want. SharePoint wouldn't have been as popular of a platform if we couldn't customize it to be our SharePoint. Starting from SharePoint 2007, people have been doing farm solutions, a lot of custom code to answer their specific business needs, and we cannot necessarily put those into Office 365. Security or legal reasons. Sometimes we have to keep our data in our country, for example. Even in Canada, which is a pretty big country, we didn't even have a data center until 10 months ago. So a lot of my clients, when I went to them, they're like, we don't want to put our stuff in the US, forget it. I know you guys, it's easier because of the European Union, but you don't want to put your data in the US with all the Patriot Act and all that. All my clients said, no way until there's a data center in Canada because of legal reasons, because of ideology reasons, and so on. SharePoint on-prem just has a lot more functionality that people have depended on for a while. For example, Word Automation Service, PowerPoint Automation Service, SSRS, stuff you don't have in SharePoint Online. Also, a lot of limitations. How many of you know about user profile audiences?
I do.
A few of you? Yeah. On-prem, they compile every night. So let's say I have a user coming in Monday. I add him to my audience. Tuesday morning, he's going to have all the access. SharePoint Online, only on Saturday mornings. So if you add your users to your audience on Monday, he's not going to see what he's supposed to see until the next week. Search is one of the best features, the most productive features in SharePoint. With SharePoint on-prem, you have custom entity extraction, you have content enrichment, and so on. You don't have those in SharePoint Online. And a lot of companies who are now dependent on those features for their day-to-day productivity, they're like, we don't want to lose them. That's what we use every day, and we want to keep them. And lastly, which I think is a really important one, the release cycle. Especially big companies, but not all companies are able to handle Microsoft's release cycle in the cloud. In the cloud, you get all the features first. Again, mobile first, cloud first, you get all the new stuff, but you don't control when stuff comes in or when stuff goes out. Because it's not only you get all the new features first, you also lose all the features you might be using first. So it's a really two-sided sword. Let's take a look at some examples. September 2014, first time Microsoft ever took a feature out of SharePoint Online, which was like a first. Nobody ever thought of Microsoft taking away stuff before. Everybody was like, oh, we get all the latest stuff. So what did they said? The task menu will be removed from the SharePoint Online during the next few weeks. This is the announcement. The tags and note features of SharePoint Online has been retired. Imagine that you're a company that uses those and you get this like, hey, but wait, has been retired? What do you mean? I'm using it today. People are not necessarily happy about it. And this, again, this was the first time that it ever happened. And if you look at all the comments, not everybody felt in love with Microsoft when they took away their features. You can see people were like, hey, if you kill this Office 365 features at this stage, how can we trust Microsoft if you only give us a few weeks advance notice? Let's take it 2017. Let me give you a few examples that are really, really recent. Site mailbox. How many of you know about the site mailbox? How many of you ever used the site mailbox? Okay. Imagine, how many of you are consultants? Consultants, a few of you, okay. Imagine that you're a consultant, okay? And you get this notice. In only 1 month, the site mailbox, you're not going to be able to create a new one. I had companies with 30,000 users that had, with every team site, we had some PNP provisioning templates, and we created a site mailbox with every new site. I saw this, I was like, guys, I'm traveling for the next month, so stop creating any new team sites because we need to fix your scripts. We need to change the way you work. Not all the companies are able to adapt in only 1 month to changes like this. Again, let's take a recent one. Only this Monday, Microsoft announced, how many of you know about Access Web Apps or Access Web Services? SharePoint Online announced this Monday, Access Web Services, you're not going to be able to create any new ones starting June 2017. 2 months notice, right? So as a big company, not all the big companies are able to adapt to this kind of change of having only 2 months to be able, we have to change the way we work. So that's why a lot of people are still staying on-prem. Gokhan?
Yes?
You had one job.
Yeah, and I failed.
How many of you are gamers? Yeah? You all know Call of Duty? No? You're not a gamer if you don't know Call of Duty. We talked about on-prem. We talked about the advantages of SharePoint on-prem. We talked about the cool stuff, the advantages of SharePoint Online. My opinion is really that the future is hybrid because there's benefits in both SharePoint Online and SharePoint on-prem. And let me prove this to you. There was a research done this year, and it's still preliminary results, but from what I remember, they had over 500 companies completed from across the globe. The research was done by CollabTalk, which most of you don't know the name, but you know Christian Buckley, and a big university in the United States, the Marriott School of Management and Business. And it was sponsored by Microsoft and a bunch of partners because Microsoft wanted to know, are people going to actually use hybrid? Do we still want to invest in hybrid? So this is really an honest research paper done by a university. What were the results? What is the state of SharePoint today? 50% of people still run on-prem, which is about what we saw in this room today. 31% of people currently run SharePoint hybrid in a way, even if it's OneDrive for Business, sites. 31% of companies currently run on hybrid, and only 19% of companies run only in SharePoint Online without having an on-prem environment. If we focus on the 50% that currently run on-prem, almost half of them plan to shift to hybrid in the next 1 to 3 years. So hybrid is becoming, like Gokhan said, a valid end state because of all the features that we have. And by deploying a hybrid environment, we can really offer the best of both worlds. You don't have to think, is it a war between SharePoint on-prem and SharePoint Online? It's really, let me give both options to my users. Some stuff can go online, some stuff has to stay on-prem, but I really allow my users to choose where that workload should go.
And Microsoft is playing on that stuff because remember in 2013, hybrid was difficult. You had a lot of scripts to execute. With SharePoint Server 2016, it's like the next finish ideology, right?
You can still run the scripts, but even some of the features. I'm an IT pro, so I like to run my scripts because I don't like next stuff.
Come on. That's not true. You love it.
But even features, you talked about the hybrid picker. The latest features, managed metadata and insights, you can't even do it without the picker. Microsoft didn't even publish the scripts, which I personally wish I would have had them because I'm an IT pro. I like to see what the devs are doing behind so they don't break my firm. But you can't even do it with scripts. You use the next, and it's done. So what do we get from hybrid? First of all, hybrid exponent sites. Running an exponent site on-prem, as you know, it's not the easiest thing. First of all, you have to open your SharePoint server externally. You have to see how you do the licensing. You have to see how do you support your external users. Do you use ADFS, FBA, and so on. With SharePoint Online is open to the web by default, so you don't need to use the firewall guys or you don't need to talk to any other team. It's easy to create a site collection for every new partner. It takes about 4 minutes. Simply invite people with secure SharePoint accounts. Auditing is enabled if you really want to watch every step they make. Just enable auditing and you can stalk them and you can see like everything they open. So it's secure. And really, you can create an extranet site in just 10 minutes. Because let's be honest, most extranet sites are not really customized. It's only like, this file is too big to send it by email. Let's create a SharePoint site where we can upload everything. That's the reality of 80% of SharePoint sites, of Exponent, not SharePoint, Exponent sites. What else do we get? The goal of hybrid is really to make the user feel that they're not working in two different environments. It's not I'm working into SharePoint on-prem or SharePoint online. Features such as, for example, the site following, profile redirection, extensible app launcher, allow us to offer a really similar experience. Whether the user is on-prem or online, you really have the same experience. You follow a site on-prem or online, they all go to the same place in SharePoint Online. I click, you know, when you go into the document library, you click on the name of a user. Whether you click on the name of the user on-prem or online, it's going to go to the dev profile. So again, don't have to think at what environment am I in. Let me just get the job done. OneDrive for Business. Yes, everybody was like, let's replace file shares with OneDrive for Business. But if you migrate your 1 gig of file shares into OneDrive for Business on-prem, you move 1 gig from a file share to 1 gig in a SQL database. Yes, you get all the cool stuff in OneDrive for Business, but you don't really save storage space. With OneDrive for Business, hybrid OneDrive for Business, you just put all your stuff in 365 instead of using it in your on-prem environment. Same client, same everything for your users, and you have between 1 terabyte and unlimited storage for every user, so you don't need to limit them to 1 gig anymore. Accessible from anywhere in the world, so people can say, can do like Gokhan said, work from home, work on their mobile, work from everywhere. And backups and everything is handled by Microsoft. Some other features I'm going to talk about real fast. BCS, where you can show external data into your SharePoint Online environment without having to open your external data to the internet. You have Cloud Hybrid Search, which is new with SharePoint 2016, but also available with SharePoint 2013, which allows you to have one unified index. So whether you search on-prem or online, you can have the same exact results. And it's not going to be like before, where you had a block for SharePoint Online results, a block for SharePoint on-prem results. It's really one index, you get the best result, wherever that document is. As a user, I just want to search and find the best document for my query. Also, Cloud Hybrid Search, we talked about hybrid and not seeing where we work anymore. When you use the Cloud Hybrid Search, you can see your on-prem documents in Delve. So you can get the latest features that are Office 365 only with your on-prem documents as well. So you don't need to go fully online to get benefits from SharePoint Online. You can still get those with SharePoint on-prem. Feature Pack 1. As you know, Microsoft will not provide service packs anymore. For now, it's only public updates. And on an unspecified timeline, we're going to get feature packs. Last November, we had Feature Pack 1, which gave us 2 new hybrid features, hybrid taxonomy, hybrid auditing, new mineral architecture options, which was a feedback from smaller clients. Because if you ever attend my session at 3 p.m., before Feature Pack 1, if you wanted a highly available farm, you needed about 11 servers. And small clients with 100 users were like, just no, Microsoft. We're not going to do it. So they put new mineral architecture options, so this way they listen to the feedback. Admin auditing, number one requested feature on user voice. So Microsoft is listening. Microsoft is really using feature packs to not have that 3-year cycle to get features from online to on-prem anymore. We can really get them maybe on a yearly basis, maybe every 4 or 5 months. We don't know yet the cycle, but we don't have to wait 3 years anymore to get new features, even if we are on SharePoint on-prem. Hybrid taxonomy, for those of you who don't know, you basically can have one single term store in SharePoint Online replicated to on-prem. So you only manage your term store in one single place. Again, hybrid auditing, and thank you very much to Nico Martins for giving me the screenshots for those. Basically, if you want to have auditing, a lot of companies already had clients who wanted to keep logs for 100 years, audit logs. I don't know how they're going to use them for 100 years, but that's still 100 years.
Wow.
That's the business requirement, right? And I was like, no way you're going to store this in the content database. Because it's not going to work. After 1 year, it's probably going to crash, or the content database is going to be huge. Hybrid auditing, you can push all your logs in the cloud. Don't have to manage those in the content database anymore. Just push them to Microsoft. They have petabytes of storage, so you don't need to worry about it anymore. And you can search for activities and see what people did on-prem or online. I want to see what Gokhan did, what he broke in my environment. I can search for Gokhan. I can see whatever he did on-prem or online on a single search. So I also get this hybrid security. So what is the future of SharePoint? Future of SharePoint, we know that SharePoint Online is going to keep going on because that's the cloud. That's going to keep on going for a few years. And somewhere, we don't know yet, maybe in 2019, 2020, we're going to get a new feature of SharePoint on-prem, which is going to have the latest features. So Microsoft, every time they're going to release a new feature for a new server on-prem, we're going to get all the latest stuff, or most of the latest stuff, hopefully, from SharePoint Online, package it into the on-prem server, and ship it to clients who want to stay on-prem or want to stay in the cloud. But is on-prem really the future? That I don't know. In my opinion, really, the future is really hybrid, is having the hybrid digital workplace where you give the choice to your business users. Is you can have this online, you can have this on-prem, or you, I understand your requirements, you have to work from home, you don't want to do a VPN, go online. You're storing patient data and information, you go on-prem. Is instead of having one single option, one single SharePoint, and forcing everybody to use it, we now have two options where we can serve our users and let them be more productive.
So it's a world of SharePoint and Office 365 and not a world of SharePoint or Office 365 get the benefits of all, right, Vlad? Enterprise collaboration into Office 365 is like teenage sex. Everyone talks about it. Nobody really knows how to do it. Everyone thinks everyone else is doing it. So everyone claims they're doing it. If I ask everybody one by one what your strategy is in collaboration, I will definitely get different answers, because every business need is different. Every organization is different. You are unique. Vlad is, you're not unique, but everybody has different way of working. And there is no clear definition of enterprise collaboration. Satya once, well, again, he never said that, but it's a quote that I really like. Is like, the electric light didn't come from continuous improvement of candles. It is not because we have groups and a way of working into groups that we couldn't create Microsoft Teams. Who knows about Microsoft Teams? Well, for the people who don't know Teams.
Every individual is different, and so is the case with every team. As we think about productivity, we think about people and teams of people and what they can achieve and accomplish together. It's core to our mission of empowering every person and every organization on the planet to achieve more. There is no universal tool for teams, but rather a universal toolkit that we call Office 365. And today, we are adding a new tool and an experience to Office 365. Microsoft Teams, a chat-based workspace.
Microsoft Teams delivers on four core promises to create a digital workspace. Chat for today's team, a hub for teamwork, customization options, and the security that teams trust. Teams is an entirely new experience. It brings together people and conversations and content, along with the tools that teams need so they can easily collaborate to achieve more.
Hi everyone. So I have been living in Microsoft Teams for a while, and it is so nice to be able to finally share this broadly. Now within a team, we have the idea of open conversation channels, so anyone on the team can jump in and join the conversation. The key here is that these are high velocity and highly collaborative in nature. So let's dive into the Art and Media Festival channel and take a look at the team chat experience.
We're also seeing a ton of enthusiasm from customers. Andrew, why don't we start with you?
Happy to. Okay. Teams is going to be huge.
It's going to be big.
With the persistent chat, they can see anything that's transpired while they're away. It really has snowballed. It really become viral. It's also a valuable environment.
So customer service is central to what we do as an airline.
And that means giving them the right set of tools to be able to service customers in the best possible fashion.
We can use this to increase productivity and creativity. It's that cockpit which I think is going to change the team experience.
Starting today, Microsoft Teams is available as a customer preview in 181 countries, localized in 18 different languages.
This is an experience that truly empowers every team.
So in my opinion, Microsoft Teams is the new way of collaboration into Office 365. Again, in my humble opinion, and it's only for me, groups is going to go to the back end. People will no more talk about groups, but more about teams. Because every created team will create a group. And every group has been created will create a SharePoint site. So why should I create a group if I can do it with Teams, who basically offer the quite same experience as into groups? So we are a lot of experts, people who know basically SharePoint, but even experts has issues when we are talking about collaboration. They don't know what to use. So you guy, a guy will say, hey, are you using Yammer? The other guy will say, hey, no, I'm not. Paolo will say, no, I saw him using groups. Benjamin will say, hey, both of you, keep talking, but use Teams. And the other one will say, no, I'm still using SharePoint Newsfeed. There is no definition. There is no clear answer. Just use whenever you like or what you like or what your business requirement is. But if I have to give you a clear answer on collaboration into Office 365, I would rather say go to Teams, right? And do not, well, I know you will still say on-prem, but if you should just go on Teams. And this is a slide deck that I got from AvePoint, which you can still download on this. When do I use what? They made infographics about toolkits that you can use into Office 365. And they divide it in three major stacks. The first one is your audience. If it's for a large audience, you should use SharePoint and Yammer. If it's for a small audience, please go to Teams, OneDrive, and Skype. If it's for any audience, then you should go on Outlook. This is from an audience perspective. The second factor is the tone. If it's a formal tone, you should go on Outlook, SharePoint, Yammer. If it's an informal tone, please go on OneDrive and Teams. And if it's on any tone, then you should go for Skype for Business. The third is a speed on collaboration. If it's a high tempo, then you should use Skype or Teams. If it's a low tempo, you should go on OneDrive, Outlook, and SharePoint, and any tempo on Yammer. Even if I would love to don't see this anymore, but it's the way to go.
How comes it's not Teams all over the place?
Because there is no clear answer that I can give to people. Just use whenever it likes for you in any kind of audience. This is a slide deck from Microsoft. I guess Avanade was the first doing this slide deck, right? Victor William. And this also explains in a few bits what to use when in an organization. You have the individual, the group, the team, the department, and the organization at the bottom. And you have on the left side, the low or the urgent, very high communication. So if it's an individual communication and it's a low priority, then you should go for OneDrive for Business for any communication. If it's becoming like, okay, it's becoming urgent, but it's not that urgent into the organization for collaboration, go for Outlook. And for all the rest, until department, use modern team sites. For the group, team, and department, it's most likely always SharePoint, right? Use a publishing website, you can use Delve, you can use Skype, you can use Exchange, etc. And for your organization, if you have any communication to do which is on low priority, then you can go on your intranet or an Office 365 video. When it's becoming urgent, but not top urgent, from a group, team, and department experience, go for Teams, right? Which is basically also connected to the bot framework and connectors. which you can also get data from outside into your teams and make communication and collaboration into your team. YAML for all organization when it's becoming urgent, and when it's extremely urgent in any kind of communication, Skype is becoming the top number one. And this is when you have to take the pictures because this is something new. You can have all this with your analytics into Delve. My analytics when it's personal, team analytics when it's for your team, and workplace analytics when it's for the whole organization. All of them is a combination of tools into the toolkit of Office 365. Still people need to take pictures? Well, I've seen this. Okay. So that's it for us. We try to explain you SharePoint, SharePoint on-prem, the collaboration into Office 365. We tried to make it a little bit funny. We hope you all enjoyed. So this is my Twitter handle again, xgokan. This is Vlad Katrinescu's Twitter handle. And I'll let you make the announcement of this.
Of this? Okay. So me and Gokan have been working on a book because one of the... After both being at clients all over the world, we saw that one of the biggest problems with SharePoint adoption in general is performance. And when SharePoint is never known to being the fastest thing out there, right? I never heard a client say that we installed SharePoint because it's so fast and people love the speed. If you ever have a client who said that, I'll buy him a beer because we need to talk. So we put together stuff we talked about before, but we put together and we're almost done doing
the
ultimate guide on how to improve SharePoint performance, either on-prem or online. So that should be out. If you follow us on Twitter, you'll hear about it for sure. But it's about a 70-page ebook that will show you how to really improve the performance both on-prem and online.
So as we say in Polish, dziękuję.
Thank you very much.